Welcome back, and in this lesson we're making a bass wobble riser in Ableton Live 12 that feels perfect for jungle, old school drum and bass, and darker roller style arrangements. The goal here is not just to make a bass sound move around, we want it to function like a real tension tool in the arrangement. So by the end, you'll have a short 4 to 8 bar section that rises into a drop with low end motion, crunchy sampler texture, and that slightly damaged, chopped up vibe that feels very DNB. This is a beginner lesson, so we're going to keep the sound design simple and use Ableton stock devices. The cool part is that simple tools can still sound massive when the arrangement and automation are doing the heavy lifting. First, set your project tempo to around 172 BPM. That sits nicely in the DNB range. Then create two MIDI tracks. Name one bass wobble and name the other crunch texture. If you want, you can also make a return track later for shared reverb or delay, but for now, those two tracks are enough. Before we even start designing sounds, think like a DNB arranger. These tracks usually live in 8-bar and 16-bar phrases, and risers are often placed in the last 2 or 4 bars before a drop. So this is not a giant cinematic build that goes on forever. It's tighter than that. It should feel rhythmic, direct, and locked to the groove. On the bass wobble track, load Wavedable. You could also use Operator, but Wavedable is probably the easiest choice for this lesson, because the motion is very clear. Start with a simple bass patch. Use a saw or a square-style waveform on oscillator 1. If you want a bit more body, add oscillator 2 and detune it slightly, but keep it subtle. We're not trying to make a huge wide super saw here. We want a bass that has attitude, but still stays controlled in the low end. Turn on a low-pass filter and set the cutoff fairly low to start, somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz. Add a small amount of resonance, but keep it moderate. Then shape the amp envelope so the notes are tight and not too blurry. A short to medium release usually works well for this kind of bass, because it keeps the rhythm clear. Now for the wobble. Use the LFO in Wavedable and assign it to the filter cutoff. A sine or triangle shape is a good starting point. Set the rate to something rhythmic, like a quarter note or an eighth note. Keep the modulation amount modest at first. That's important. A beginner mistake is going way too hard too early and making it sound like a cartoon wobble. In jungle and DNB, the wobble should feel like part of the groove, not a giant talking bass effect. Now write a simple MIDI phrase. Keep it short, like 2 or 4 bars, and don't overcomplicate it. In fact, a really good approach is to use only 1 to 3 notes total. You can repeat one note, then move up a little bit, then maybe land on a slightly higher note near the end. Let the rhythm and automation create the movement. A nice way to think about this is, start with a held low note, then increase the note density, then move up slightly in pitch, and finally end with a little more urgency before the drop. In DNB, rising energy often comes from note placement and register change more than from big melodic jumps. Keep the velocities pretty even so the wobble reads clearly. If you want a more human feel, vary the note lengths a little, but don't go too random. Now let's bring in the crunchy texture layer. On the crunch texture track, load Simpler. This is where we get that old school flavor and make the riser feel less clean and more like a chopped sample or dusty jungle record. Drag in a short crunchy sample, a vinyl crackle, a chopped break fragment, a noisy cymbal tail, a tiny vocal chop, or even a short hit with character can work. The sample does not need to be melodic, it just needs attitude. Set Simpler to classic mode if it's not already there. Keep the sample region short and focused. Then we're going to process it a bit. Add saturator after Simpler and give it a light drive, maybe around 2 to 6 dB. If needed, turn on soft clip for a little extra crunch. Then add auto filter and high pass the texture somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz so it doesn't fight the bass. That low end separation matters a lot. In DNB, the sub and low bass need to stay clear, while the texture layer lives higher up and adds grit, motion, and tension. That contrast is what makes the build feel alive. Next, make the texture layer follow the same energy as the bass. The easiest beginner move is to copy the bass MIDI onto the sampler track, then shorten the note lengths. That gives you a tight rhythmic match without a lot of extra programming. If you want a more broken feel, offset a few notes slightly, so it feels a bit chopped and unstable. You can also use Simpler's envelope settings to make the sample punchier. Keep the attack very short, almost instant, and use a relatively short release so it doesn't smear too much. If the sample still feels too clean, add a little more saturator or try a small amount of redux for digital grit. Just be careful not to make it harsh in a bad way. We want character, not pain. Now comes the most important part. Automation. This is what makes the whole thing feel like a real riser instead of just a looping bass phrase. Over the last 2 to 4 bars, automate the bass filter cutoff so it gradually opens up. At the same time, you can increase the LFO rate a little for more urgency. Push the saturation or drive slightly more toward the drop. On the texture layer, you can bring up the volume a touch and maybe increase reverb or send amount for a moment before cutting it back down. A really good automation shape is this. Start controlled and filtered, slowly brighten and intensify, and then cut everything sharply right before the drop lands. That cut is huge indeed, NB. Sometimes the tiniest gap before the drop creates the biggest impact. It's that handbrake release feeling that makes the next section slam. For some rough numbers, you could move the bass filter cutoff from around 150 Hz up to 1.5 kHz across the riser. You could also push the saturator from about 2 dB to 6 dB. And on the texture, maybe move from a mild high pass to something a little more aggressive as the build progresses. If you want, add a little EQ8 on the bass track to clean up any muddy low mids. Around 200 to 400 Hz is often where things get cloudy. Just make small adjustments. You don't want to thin the bass out too much, only clear space where needed. You can also place a glue compressor very gently if the bass and texture need to feel a little more glued together. But remember the rule here, use fewer effects and automate more. In DNB, the movement often matters more than stacking a big chain of processors. Now think about the arrangement. This riser should probably live at the end of an intro, or in the last 2 bars before the drop, or maybe as a switch up between sections. A very classic DNB setup is a groove, then a short build, then a tiny fill or break, then the drop. Your bass wobble riser needs to support that structure, not fight it. A good arrangement approach is to start the first bars more filtered and restrained, then gradually increase wobble intensity and texture brightness. In the final half bar, consider leaving a gap or a tight cutoff so the drop has room to land. That contrast is a big part of the impact. And don't forget the low-end discipline. Check the bass in mono if possible. Use utility if you need to keep the bass centered. The crunchy texture can be a little wider, but the sub and main wobble foundation should stay focused and solid. If the low end gets messy, the whole transition loses power. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, don't make the wobble too slow or too dramatic. It should feel tight and rhythmic, not like an exaggerated dubstep lead. Second, don't let the crunchy texture fight the sub. High pass it more if needed. Third, don't add too many notes. DNB tension usually works better with fewer notes and smarter automation. And finally, don't forget the final cut before the drop. That moment is crucial. Here's a really useful mental model for this kind of build. Think in layers of energy. First, low-end movement, then mid-range grit, then high-end fizz or noise, then the final cutoff or gap. If you keep that hierarchy in mind, your riser will feel much more intentional. If you want a dirtier jungle flavor, try adding a tiny chopped break fragment under the texture layer, or use a touch of overdrive before the filter so the motion pushes harmonic content around, not just volume. You can also make the bass and texture answer each other, almost like a call and response. That can give the build a more musical, rolling feel. Another great trick is a subtle pitch climb on the sampler layer during the last bar or two. Keep it very small so it feels like tension rather than a huge effect. A little movement goes a long way here. And if the build feels weak, shorten it. That's a really important DNB lesson. Sometimes removing extra bars makes the turnaround hit harder. So to recap, load a simple bass sound in Wavitable, make it wobble with an LFO, write a short and simple MIDI phrase, add a crunchy, simpler layer for old-school texture, high pass it so it stays out of a sub, and automate the filter, drive, and energy so the whole thing rises into the drop. This is one of those techniques where the vibe comes from restraint. Keep it gritty, keep it tight, and keep the low end under control. If you do that, you'll get a riser that feels like real jungle tension, not just a random effect sweep. For practice, make a 4-bar version at 172 BPM using only 2 notes. Then make a second version that feels dirtier by adding a chopped break fragment and a little more saturation. And if you want to level up, try a fake out where the sub drops out early and only the crunchy top layer remains for a beat before the full drop returns. That's the lesson. Simple idea, powerful result. Build the wobble, add the grime, automate the rise, and let the drop hit with space.